Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time we're tackling something you might not think about every day, but is incredibly important when it comes to the places we live and work. Wind gusts and how they affect building codes. I mean, have you ever wondered how engineers make sure a skyscraper can survive a hurricane? It's got to be more complicated than just looking at like average wind speed, right?
Oh, it definitely is. When you're talking about designing any structure, really, but especially in places that see strong winds, Understanding gusts is absolutely essential.
Okay, so let's break that down a bit. I feel like we always hear about wind speed.
Yeah.
But what other forces are we dealing with here when it comes to wind?
So think of it this way. If you were to push on a wall with constant pressure, that's kind of like average wind speed. But if you give it a sudden hard shove, that's more like a gust. Those short bursts of high speed can be way stronger, and they put a lot more stress on a building compared to just the average wind. And on top of that, you've got turbulence, which is kind of the chaotic swirling motion of the wind. And that adds yet another layer of complexity to the forces acting on a building.
So it's like the difference between a gentle breeze and then suddenly getting slammed by a door on a windy day. And then picture a bunch of those doors just swirling around, pushing and pulling from all directions.
Exactly. So you can see why just measuring wind speed isn't enough information for engineers.
For sure. So that how do engineers even begin to measure and account for all of that when they're designing a building? It sounds like a nightmare.
Well, that's where standardized wind measurements come in and something called gust factors. Standardized measurements allow us to compare wind data from different parts of the world and make sure that buildings are being designed to a consistent standard. It's kind of like having a universal language for wind.
So instead of everyone speaking different wind languages, we have this common ground to make sure buildings are safe no matter where they are.
Precisely. One good example of this is a framework that's described in a research paper called an analytical framework for the investigation of tropical cyclone wind character. This framework basically gives us a way to understand and compare the characteristics of wind from different storms. It uses standard conditions like something called roughness length, the observation duration for average wind speed, and a specific averaging time for gusts, all measured at a height of 10 meters.
So it's like converting different currencies so we can all understand each other. But what about those gust factors you mentioned?
Right. So gust factors help engineers understand how much stronger a gust can be compared to the average wind speed. For example, a gust factor of 1.5 means the gust speed could be up to 50% stronger than the average wind speed. So it's a really critical factor in figuring out the true wind loads that a building might experience.
So it's not enough to just know how fast the wind's blowing on average. You need to know how much stronger those gusts can get to make sure the building can handle those sudden bursts of force.
Exactly. And building codes use this information to specify different safety standards for different regions based on what kind of wind conditions they can expect. And it's not just about the strength of the gusts themselves. It's also about how they're distributed. For example, one study that looked at the wind characteristics of typhoons and hurricanes found some pretty interesting differences.
Oh, wow. So even though they're both incredibly powerful storms, there are some key differences in how their winds actually behave.
Exactly. While typhoons tend to have stronger winds overall on average, hurricanes actually have what we call slightly larger integral length scales.
Okay.
And I know that sounds a little bit complicated, but basically what that means is that the gusts in a hurricane are more likely to affect a larger portion of a building all at the same time, creating a greater overall force.
So it's not just about how hard the wind hits, but also how much of the building it hits at once.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
Great.
So those subtle differences mean engineers need to use different approaches for different types of storms.
Yeah, absolutely. And things get even trickier when you start to factor in the location. Coastal areas, for example, have some pretty unique wind challenges because of how the wind and the waves interact.
So building on the coast is like playing wind force Jenga on a roller coaster.
Pretty much. What's really fascinating is that wind direction can actually have a huge impact on gust factors in coastal areas. You know, Imagine you're standing on a beach. If the wind's blowing straight at you from the ocean, it's going to feel much stronger than if it's blowing along the coast, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's because of something called wave refraction. When waves hit the shoreline, they tend to sort of align themselves parallel to the coast. So when the wind's blowing perpendicular to the shore, it's also perpendicular to those waves. And that creates much stronger gusts and turbulence.
You know, so a building facing the open ocean might be experiencing totally different wind forces than one facing along the coast, even if they're right next to each other.
Exactly. It really highlights just how complex wind loads can be. and why it's so important to really understand the local conditions when you're designing structures that need to be safe and resilient. And all of this information ultimately gets incorporated into building codes.
Okay, so let's bring it all back to building codes. We've talked about gusts and gust factors and turbulence and how all of these forces can vary wildly depending on the location and the type of storm. Mm-hmm. So how do building codes take all of this complex science and translate it into practical guidelines to make sure that buildings are actually safe?
So building codes are kind of like a constantly evolving instruction manual for engineers. They're there to make sure that buildings can withstand the specific wind conditions that are expected in their location. They take all of that scientific research, all the data on wind speeds and gusts and turbulence, and even things like the terrain and the height of the building. And they basically distill it down into a set of rules that engineers can follow.
So it's like a cheat sheet, but based on years of research and experience.
Yeah.
To make sure buildings can handle pretty much anything Mother Nature throws at them.
Exactly. And different regions have different codes based on their own unique wind climates. For example, here in the United States, we use the American Society of Civil Engineers, which is known as ACE 710. And in Japan, they use the Architectural Institute of Japan recommendations for loads on buildings, or AIJRLB 2004.
It makes sense that different parts of the world would need different codes based on the types of winds they experience. So it's not just some random rules pulled out of thin air. It's based on real science and years of data collection.
Oh, absolutely. It's a constant process of analyzing data, refining those models, and updating the codes to reflect what we know about wind behavior. And, you know, with climate change and how it's leading to more intense storms, that's a really important factor.
So it's always evolving to try and keep up with our changing world. But that also makes me wonder, you know, with climate change causing those more extreme weather events, are we going to need even stronger, even more resilient buildings in the future?
That's a great question, and a topic for another deep dive, perhaps. But it's safe to say that understanding those powerful forces of wind and how to adapt to them is going to continue to be a really critical challenge for architects and engineers as we build for the future.
You know, it's amazing to think that something we can't even see can have such a powerful impact on the buildings we rely on every day.
Yeah, it really is. It really highlights just how many incredible forces of nature are constantly at play all around us.
Seriously, I mean, I used to just walk into a building without even thinking twice about it. But now I can't help but picture all those invisible wind forces pushing and pulling on it.
Well, I think that's a good thing. It shows you have a newfound appreciation for how complex the built environment really is. Every structure, from a simple house to a massive skyscraper, it's designed to withstand those unseen forces.
It really makes you appreciate the work that engineers do. I mean, they're like the guardians of our built world, making sure those structures can stand up to whatever the wind throws at them.
Absolutely. They're using science and ingenuity to create buildings that can not only withstand the wind, but actually adapt to it in some cases. For example, some modern buildings use flexible materials or special design features that can actually adjust to changing wind loads. It's like they bend with the wind instead of breaking.
Wow, that's incredible. It's like we're learning to work with nature instead of just always trying to fight against it.
Exactly. And as we learn more about how wind behaves and how climate change is affecting things, we can keep refining those building codes and design strategies to create even more resilient structures.
Oh, so we've talked about all this complex science and engineering, but what does it actually mean for the average person? What can we do to make sure our homes and communities are prepared for all these wind challenges in a changing climate?
That's a great question. I think for starters, just being aware of these forces at play is a huge step. Understanding how wind can impact buildings and knowing why building codes are so important, that's a really good foundation.
So knowledge is power when it comes to wind.
Absolutely. And beyond that, there are definitely things we can do on a personal level to make our homes more wind resistant. Simple things like trimming trees that are too close to your house, reinforcing your garage door, and just making sure that your roof is properly secured. All of those things can make a big difference in protecting your home from wind damage.
It sounds like taking a few proactive steps can really pay off in the long run.
Definitely. And on a larger scale, it's important to support policies that prioritize climate resilience in construction. You know, we need to make sure our communities are prepared for the challenges of a changing climate. And that includes building for a windier future.
This has been such an eye-opening deep dive. We've gone from the basic science of wind gusts all the way to the cutting-edge engineering of those super wind-resistant structures. I feel like I have a whole new perspective on those invisible forces that shape our world.
Me too. And remember, this is just the beginning of the conversation. There's always more to learn and explore when it comes to how wind and the built environment interact.
For sure. I can't wait to uncover more of the mysteries of wind in future deep dives. But for now, let's all take a moment to appreciate the incredible science and engineering that goes into keeping us safe from the wind. Until next time, stay curious. And never underestimate the power of the invisible.